down these same islands then. And I was preaching that chorus, someone came up and said, Mr. Boswell, you have such a mellow voice. Now you look at Webster's dictionary, you know what it's saying? Overripe, rotten, half tipsy. The wedding some time ago in Canada, at the reception, we're singing some hymns, and I just married this young couple, and a voice standing next to me saying, no, Brother Boswell, that's a marvelous voice you have. You ought to be cultivated. But the next time you say, don't worry, just plow it under. Now, I want you please open your Bibles at Psalm number 16. We're going to give talk from favorite Psalms during these days we are together. You remember where our dear brother Tutson left off last night. He gave us such a wonderful picture of the lovely face of the Lord Jesus Christ. All I could think of as he was speaking were these words. If this glimpse of love is so divinely sweet, what will it be above his gladdening smile to me? One day alone we're going to see him. Without any physical limitation, without any cloud, face to face we're going to gaze upon our adorable Lord Jesus. Reminds me, little boy, the boy was born blind. His father got home from the office one day, found his wife somewhat distracted, really despondent, down in the dump. He said, what's the matter, dear? I'm all right. He said, no, there's something troubling you. What is it? By this time, the boy was 15 years of age. He said, that is something troubling you. Tell me. I want to know what it is. I tell you, it's nothing troubling me. Leave me alone. Haven't you heard that before? I said, right, oh, they got hold of her, pushed her right against the walls, and now you must tell me there's something troubling you. What is it? He began to cry. They said, no, it's breaking my heart. To think the child whom I brought into the world, whom I cared for all these years, whom I attended to, and yet he'll never see the mother has done this for him. She just said, I can't stand it any longer. He went home back to his office somewhat distracted and confronted one of his colleagues, who told him the hardest street specialist way back beyond in London, England, would be performing wonderful operations. Some born blind were operated on and receiving their sight. An interview was arranged. The doctor did not take long to examine the boy. He turned to the mother and father and said, I'm very sorry. There's very little hope of the boy ever seeing. I'll operate. I'll do my best. I can do no more. They agreed to the operation. Some days after, the father and mother were sent for, and there in the room, come the medical students, doctors and nurses, the father and mother, and of course the boy. A senior nurse went and undid the bandages. And after some moments, through the breathtaking moment, would he be able to see? He looked up at the ceiling. He looked down and saw. He looked there and saw a table before him. He looked up and he saw his hand moving for the very first time. He looked out and he saw his mummy and his daddy for the very first time. Someone said, aren't you happy, you can now see? Is I'm extremely happy, but please, I want to see the man who opened my eyes. The professor was just next room waiting for the results of the operation. They called him in. The boy clasped him on the hand and looked up and said, thank you, sir, for opening my eyes. You know, beloved, it may be this very day that we too shall be ushered right into the immediate presence of that lovely man who opened our eyes, and we're going to thank him faithfully. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Aren't you glad you're cut still? And I'm running over? I'm sure you are. Now, with all that before you, we're going to have another look at the Lord Jesus from Psalm. If you want to say Psalm, you may, but it's still Psalm. By the way, down away down there in the land of Georgia, two friends met. The one said to the other, be you in the Lord's army? Yes, I be in the Lord's army. I be a Baptist. Huh, you not be in the Lord's army at all. You be in the Lord's navy. The same brother said, he's preaching this day, and he said, please turn to the epistle to the Ephesians. Say, you know what an epistle is, don't you? An epistle is an apostle's wife. So that's number one of Psalm number 16. Sweet pea is my favorite flower. I love the fragrance of the sweet pea. You can love that.
I really do.
And it is beauty. And I'm going to give you 11 sweet peas. Not this morning, don't worry about that. At least I'm going to give them to you. I'm not going to preach on them. But I want to give you a sweet pea for each bear. And I trust it to be a blessing to you. There's one. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Now you got that one, haven't you? Preservation. O my soul, thou said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, and the word is preeminent. He is my Lord. There's three. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, and the word is pleasure. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. And the word is pattern. P-A-T-T-E-R-N. Pattern. Verse number 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. And thou maintainest my law. And you got the word there, haven't you? Portion. The lines have fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. And the word is possession. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins or my thoughts also instruct me in the night season. And the word is a participation. Verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because at my right hand I shall not be moved. And the word is position. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory or my tongue rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. And the word is praise. For thou wilt not be my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. And the word is protection. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And the word is prospect. The Lord will add his blessing to that short reading from his word to our hearts this morning. Now, if you want a New Testament commentary on Psalm number 16, you'll find it in Acts chapter 2, from verse number 25 onward. We're not going to look at that just now. I want to draw your attention just to one or two thoughts that really come to me since coming on this mountain top and conversing one with another, listening to the prayer and the prayer my beloved brother, Mr. Willie, offered just a few moments ago. Now I'm going to show you from God's Word just exactly how all this dovetails right into having the wonderful vision of the Lord Jesus that we had last night. And again this morning, as we remembered Him, He filled our vision. He occupied our heart's affection, and we were very, very conscious of His nearness. We knew something of that unspeakable joy and fullness of blessing and glory as he sat quietly in his presence this morning. But now, look at the title of this particular psalm, Miktam of David. There is quite a diversity of opinion as to the exact meaning of this title. Some declare it's the psalm of the open secret, out of the psalm of the golden meditation. I was talking with Mr. Foley from Morocco recently. We discussed this title together. He's quite a Hebrew scholar. He said it meant to engrave. I have to engrave deeply upon a stone. Looking at him, I said, thank you, my brother. We'll take all the three meanings together. It's a psalm of the open secret. We shall meditate upon the open secret, that it might be engraven deeply upon each of our hearts and lives, that we might be more and more transformed into the image of our lovely, adorable Lord Jesus Christ. I want to think that through for one moment. The psalm of the open secret. And let us meditate upon this wonderful secret. Psalm number 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is of them who fear Him. Those who be initiated into the family of God. We come into the family by the miracle of the new birth. And I trust all of us here know the joy of that wonderful miracle in your life. that you are born again. You've been born into the family of God. You don't evolve into becoming a Christian, not like Topsy and Uncle Tom's cabin. Somebody says to her, "Topsy, where did you come from?" "Oh, I spex, I grow." Well, that may be so, but you don't grow up into becoming a Christian. You're born into the family of God. And it says the secret of the Lord is with those that belong to the family. How do I know? Because it says in John chapter 15 and verse number 15, the Lord Jesus is the speaker. "I have not called you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." Genesis 18 verse 17 says, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" And Abram's referred to at least three times as a friend of God. Real friendship means an intimate relation. Brings us into the closeness of intimacy. And because we have, as God's children, being brought into the closeness of intimacy with our beloved Lord Jesus, it's His great desire to reveal to us this morning and during these days together all the secrets of the Father's heart. This means we must take time to get alone with Him, in communion with Him through the Holy Scripture. Now, I want you to think of this again. It's a psalm of the open secret. We are going to meditate upon this secret with this one purpose in view, that we might be more and more transformed into the image of our beloved Lord Jesus. Some of us prayed earlier, said last night, "May His beauty rest upon us while we seek the lost to win, and may they forget the channels, seeing only Him. Not I, but Christ in every look and in every action." As a boy way back yonder in Scotland, my mother had a daily help. Jessie's coming up through the village to the home. She's passing by the butcher's store. He's standing in the store doorway. And as Jesse's passing by, he says to her, "I say, Jesse, where are you going today?" "Where are you going today?" She looked across and said, "I say, John, can you keep a secret?" "Oh, yes," she said, thinking he was going to hear such a lot. Well, she said, "So can I," and pass on. But now, this is an open secret, and I want us all to get it. So just see what it says in verse 1, shall we? "In thee do I put my trust. In thee do I put my trust." Now this is a very interesting word. The psalmist is turning away from all creature confidences, no more relying upon the arm of the flesh. He turns away from man, his breath in his nostrils, and looks up and says, "In thee and in thee alone do I put my trust." This word trust means to find shelter in, take refuge in. It comes 37 times alone in the Old Testament. We often use the word trust when we're dealing with boys and girls. We ask them to trust the Lord Jesus more so than the word faith or belief. And they are interchangeable terms, by the way. But dealing with boys and girls, we ask them to trust the Lord Jesus in the same way as they trust of mummy or daddy. Say with the trust the chair upon which they're sitting, not to let them down. By the way, some of you were here before I got here this morning, but I didn't see anyone taking the chair and shaking it to see what holds them up. You came and you trusted yourself too. You committed yourself to that chair. That's the word here. It's a word that means commit to, trust yourself to, rely upon. That's the word here. In thee do I put my trust. Remember the middle verse of the Bible? Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9. "It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. This word trust. Proverbs chapter 3 verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. John G. Payton, the missionary to the New Hebrides, was translating the New Testament into their language. He could not get a word equivalent to the word faith, believe, or trust. One day they'd been out hunting. And as they got home, Payton is absolutely exhausted. Out there on the lawn, there's a couch. And one of the native creatures, in his own language, pointing to the couch, said to Payton, stretch yourself out upon. Did you get that? Stretch yourself out upon. Payton said, thank you, Lord. That's the word I want. Now, John 3:16, and their language reads like this. But God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever stretches himself upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, isn't that just precious? Committing yourself to, trusting yourself to the Lord Jesus. This is salvation. Not a case of believing about him, giving a mental assent to some historical facts concerning Jesus Christ, or a mere mental acquiescence. You've got confidence in Jesus Christ. You believe on him. And to believe on him, you commit your soul to him, and he to you. And there's an indissoluble union. You're in Christ, and Christ in you. And no wonder the cup is full and running over. Is your cup full this morning? Is your cup running over? I love this word, you know. In thee do I put my trust. Before I get down to it, traveling home from Toronto to London, Ontario, where we are now living, I was speaking at a citywide rally in Toronto, and I got the last train home. It was the winter time. The roads were just like skating rinks, so I didn't take the car. And traveling home, I got the last seat in the compartment. I sat down beside this young man. He looked at me and he said, are you a minister or are you a doctor? I said, frankly, I'm both. But I don't want you preaching to me. So, Frank, I've no desire, no intention of speaking to you. Why do you say that? Well, he said, I live with people in Hamilton, Ontario, and they're always getting on to me about being saved, about being born again. And they tell me, if I'm not saved, I'm going to hell. I said, well, I don't know who your friends are, but you ought to thank God for them every day of your life. I said, they've got your soul's welfare at their heart, and they're concerned about you. You might be saved. And I told you, I don't want you preaching to me. I said, well, you started it, not me. You see? And he said, well, look, he said, I'm going to tell you something. If I won't believe anything I can't see. If I can't see it, I won't believe it. I said, oh, you say seeing is believing. And he said, right? I said, that's interesting. I said, what are your jobs? I'm a journalist. Where were you educated? I graduated from McMaster. Oh? And you mean to tell me that you really mean what you say? You won't believe anything you can't see? That's what I say. That's what I mean. So I look straight at them and say, sir, have you got faith? And you got to say, he's never been afraid. He didn't believe he's got a brain. Oh, yes, I mean, if I don't understand something in my mind, if I don't understand it, I won't accept it. Oh, I say, this is more complicated than ever now. Either you tell me you won't believe anything you can't see. I asked you, have you got a brain? You tell me you have, and yet you've never seen your brain. And now you tell me if you don't understand it, you won't accept it. That's what I said. So I looked at him and I said, the other night in my drawing room at home, I turned on the TV. I saw David Ben-Gurion away yonder in Palestine. I saw him. I heard him. Do you understand all about electronics? No. Have you a TV? Yes. Do you use it? Yes. You don't understand all about electronics? Do you use it? Then a little while after I say to him, well, have you got a radio? Yes. I radio in my home, in my office, and in my car. Do you use them? Yes. Do you understand all about them? No. Do you have a telephone? Yes. In my home, in my office, in my car. you use them, and yet you don't understand all about them? He said, no. Looking straight at him, I said, do you understand how a brown cow eating green grass produces white milk? He said, no, I don't. But do you drink it? Yes, sir, you got me. I can't do this. You got me. And it's true, my friend. There is a trust that will overflee not your own understanding. You're not asked to understand, you're asked to believe. And on believing, my friend, you trust yourself. If seeing is believing, says the man. But the believing is seeing. You trust and then you understand. Isn't that true? So let me ask you this morning, have you trusted your soul's salvation to him? Have you committed yourself to him? If not, then why not this morning? Don't try and see it. Don't try and imagine something. Just take the Lord and his word and rest upon what he said, will you? Now, I'm saying that to any who may be here without the Lord Jesus, because we want to know you're the joy. Your cup is filled and running over too. One of the joy of this love is just so real, so vital. I want to let you into a little secret. You know what it is? The other day, I had to say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, please don't give me any more joy. I can't take any more, Lord. I'll die if you give me any more. That's the kind of Lord I've come to know. He's a wonderful Lord. He's a joy unspeakable. He's full of glory. Oh, I'm so happy about this, aren't you? What a wonderful joy that God the Lord gives us. And now come with me to my verse again. In thee do I put my trust. Now, I'm going to try and give a little word of encouragement to those of us who are the Lord. The same word is used in Psalm number 55:22, where it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, he careth for you. And right in between Psalm 55 and 1 Peter 5 comes John 21. And in John 21, remember, the fishermen had gone all night fishing. They had gone out in self-will. Peter says, I go fishing. They said, we come with you, Peter. And they all went, and they're coming back without a fish. The Lord Jesus was trying over sin and death and hell and Satan, the mighty conquering Lord. He's standing there on the shore. His great heart of love goes out toward him, and in sympathy says to him, sirs, have ye any meat? And they said, no. And that word no means they just couldn't hear that. The bottom had dropped completely out of everything for them. They're at the wit's end corner. But now listen. Just right there, the Lord said to them, cast, the same word, cast on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, had they not come to an end of themselves and their own self-will, they would have argued with the Lord Jesus and said, why? We can't catch fish in the dark. We certainly won't catch them in broad daylight. And for you to tell us now to cast on the right side of the ship, why? No eastern fisherman ever does a thing like that. They never cast on the right side of the ship, but they didn't argue with the Lord Jesus. There's no more argument left in them. They've come to an end of themselves. And now listen, at his word, I love this, don't you? At his word, they cast therefore, and they found a multitude of fish. Their part was to cast that net. His part was to see the net was full. Beloved this morning, whoever you are, your part is to cast your burden upon him. His part is to sustain you. Your part not to argue, to ask the reason why. You've got to take the Lord at his word. And Lord, well, that's the word. The little meaning to fling. Literally fling the burden. But you know what the margin says? Roll the burden. If it's too heavy to fling, then roll it, but get rid of it. Now the Lord wants you to do that. Remember my good brother in his prayer this morning about the various problems and the troubles and the sorrows. Oh, my friend, I want to get this deep down your heart. I don't know why the Lord laid this message upon my heart this morning, but there may be someone here, and you got a burden. You got a burden. And maybe a family burden. Maybe a personal burden. Maybe a business burden. Maybe a spiritual burden. maybe psychological, maybe philosophical, but you've got it. And the Lord wants you this morning, the very commencement of this conference, to unload that burden upon Him. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that, my friend, right now? You come to me in your mind, 1 Peter 5:7. Well, the Lord will give you the word, casting all your care. The Dutch version has, unloading all your care upon Him. We at Pittsburgh, at home the other day in Carolina, as we were just saying goodbye to the folks there, a big truck threw up with a load of sand. And I watched that man unloading the sand and going away with an empty truck. Notice, he unloaded the sand, left it behind him, and he went away with the empty truck. And he hadn't done that, I think some of the Scottish people have been after him. You see? But he came and unloaded the sand, and he goes away. Beloved, this morning in this grand little assembly, the Lord wants you to unload that burden. You've told him a lot about it, haven't you? But he wants you to come and unload that burden upon him. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave them there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. I find in my ministry that very often behind a smiling face, there's a breaking heart. You need such a heart here this morning. And now the Lord is saying to you, unload that care upon Him. Why? I'm quoting Weymouth. It matters to Him about you. You believe that? It matters to Him about you. All the day long, all the night through, He's caring for me, and He's caring for you. His mercies are tender, His love is ever true. It matters to Him about you. You say, Jim, I misunderstood. I misjudged. I misrepresented. Friend, here is one who understands you perfectly. Knows you, another can possibly know you. He wants you this morning, my friend, to take Him at His word. You've done that for salvation, haven't you? You're committed to keeping your soul to Him all these times. Why can't you trust Him with that burden? Why can't you trust Him with that care? The old Scotch lad is saying, he's caring and I'm caring. Look at him, we're both caring, so I'll let him do all the caring. Now, isn't that just lovely? Isn't that lovely? Will you come this morning, my friend, and trust Him? In Thee and in Thee alone do I put my trust. I love that, don't you? And you know what Isaiah 41:10 says? Fear not. And remember, there are 365 fear not in the Bible. I said that one day at a conference. A Hebrew Christian came up and said, Brother Boswell, you made a mistake this afternoon. I said, just one? Well, he said, you made one. What is that? When you said there are 365 fear not in the Bible, that's a mistake. So how many are there, brother? He said, there are 366. I said, well, if you find one for the leap year, we can still rejoice together. Ain't that lovely? So my friend, will you come this morning and fear not, nor be dismayed. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never can. Every friend will feel and leave you. The one day soothes, the next day grieves you. But this friend, he'll never deceive you. Oh, how nice. In my work in high school and college and university campuses, I come across a lot of young people today. And he got sermons he never had. They're living in a world he didn't live in at their age. And those young people want this message. They don't want anything sugar-coated. I find in my ministry, you can pull the wool over older people's eyes and off with it, but never with a teenager. A teenager can see through a phony as quick as lightning. They really can. And they got problems. They got burdens. They would never tell the nearest and dearest about it. Now you like that this morning? And you've got that bird that's eating right, you eating all the spiritual vitality and vigor and vim, taking that spring out of your state, taking it, making your vision, my friend, dim. And there's not that glow about you once had?
Now the Lord is putting his finger upon it right now. He's calling it by its name, isn't he? Now don't tell him about it. You come and unload it there. And will you leave it? Leave it? May I quote that chorus once more? I may teach you one day. It matters to him about you. Now, do you believe that? Do you really believe that? It really matters to him about you. All the day long. All the night through. He's caring for me. And he's caring for you. His mercies are tender. His love is ever true. It matters to him about you. In thee and in thee alone do I put my trust. Trust in the Lord and don't despair. He is a friend to truth. No matter what your troubles are, he will be the truth. Sing in the darkest night. Sing when the day is bright. All the way, every day. Let us sing. Sing. Now look at the next verse. In thee do I put my trust. Thou art not a Lord, or the Lord, nor even your Lord. He is my Lord. Ah, there's the secret. There's the secret, my friend. When you recognize him not just as a Lord, not even the Lord, but he is my Lord. Lord over all, blessed forever. And when Christ reigns Lord supreme upon your heart and upon my heart, then, my friend, there's that inward serenity. There's that inward tranquility. There's that inward peace. For perfect love casteth all fear. All fear. And love personified in the Lord Jesus reigns upon the heart, the throne of your life and my life. And we pray, reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to thee in everything. Oh, have you not prayed so often? Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thine spirit. So all shall see Christ only always living in me. When my good friend last night was bringing before us the Lord Jesus, I could not but think of that moment in the upper room when Thomas is there. And the Lord said to Thomas, Thomas, behold the nail print in my hand and feet. But then he said, Thomas, come close to me. Thomas, come close to me. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me. Beloved, the Lord is here this morning. Nearer to you than your neighbor. And he's saying to you, as he said to Thomas, come near to me. Have you been following afar off? Have you been holding from the distance? You know, theoretically, doctrinally, scripturally, all about the wounds, all the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus. But what do you know about them in your heart? What do you really know of them in their heart? Now, Thomas could behold these from the distance, but to put his finger therein, he had to be very weak. And the Lord would come near him, Thomas. What did Thomas do? He prostrated himself before the Lord and he cried, my Lord and my God. Thomas rose to Max's height that day as he prostrated himself before the Lord. By the way, I admire Thomas. When the disciples told Thomas during the week they had seen the Lord, Thomas said, I won't believe that. I won't believe it till I've seen the nail prints in his hands and feet, till I've seen that spear of his side. Oh, beloved friends this morning, Thomas was not going to be put off with any imposter. With any imposter. Like the Indian lady. When Indian village, some people say, come over to our village, because Christ has come. He's bringing fire from heaven. He's doing miraculous things. The dear old Christian in their simplicity says, has he got the marks of the nails in his hands? The Lord is here, nearer to you than your neighbor.
Will you just whisper to him now, Lord, in thee do I put my trust? What? You're my Lord. You're my sovereign. You're reigning Lord supreme in every part of my life, my time, my talent, my treasure, my spirit, my soul, my body. Thine, Lord. Thine. Lord, have I not prayed? O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth live, O Christ, for thee alone, as I come to serve. And I continue for you, I leave off in this morning, I confuse night gone away. I want you to get this. The Lord is here, right in this upper room, on the top of this mountain. And this can be a mountain top experience. It can be an upper room experience. As the Lord is saying to you right now, behold the miracle. Behold the Spirit and fire. And we say, thy wounds, Lord Jesus, those deep, deep wounds will tell the sacrifice that frees us from sin and death and hell. Amidst our beloved hand, and bids us use his beautiful hand, point his wounded feet inside, bless emblem of the crucifix. It must be an awful gash in the side of my lungs